Hello, everybody. It's Pastor Adam here. We've got another topic today to get into. So let's go to the Lord and acknowledge Him and thank Him. Father, we thank You for today, and we thank You for this word, and we ask for Your blessings over this. We ask that You open our ears, open our eyes, that we get soaked up in the marrow. And we thank You, Father God, that will help transform our soul into Your likeness. We thank You in the mighty and matchless name of Jesus Christ. Amen. So I titled this today, Mirror, Mirror on the Wall. So, I want us to just ponder some things like that I think we take for granted, but let's start with what's the first thing you do when you get up in the morning? I would suspect it's probably the same thing every day. Everybody seems to have, you know, we have our own morning rituals to get us going. Maybe it's a cup of coffee. Maybe it's, you know, getting up and immediately making your bed. You know, I'm sure we all go to the restroom after, you know, a night of rest. Maybe you jump right in the shower. But some part of everybody's morning ritual is coming face to face with the mirror. Most of us probably get our first look at ourselves when we're, you know, barely awake. Our eyes, you know, have that kind of bleary, dazed look. Our hair is sticking out in strange places. Normally, you know, guys have a little beard growth, get a little scruffy, you know, when they look in the morning from the previous day. You know, but bottom line is facing our mirrors first thing in the morning is not like the most pleasant thing that we experience. Why? Well, because mirrors are very honest. They don't compromise. They don't gloss over our defects. They tell us what we really are. They show us every wart, every wrinkle, and every zit. In fact, the better the mirror, the more flaws we see. So I guess that just makes me wonder, why do we all have mirrors in our bathrooms then? Well, I think it's obvious. I mean, as unpleasant as it may be to confront our own faces first thing in the morning, if we don't take a look at ourselves and make some adjustments, the rest of the world is going to see that just out of bed look. And we know it's better to face the truth, so we make the changes we think are necessary to make ourselves presentable when we leave the confines of our homes. You know, do you remember that saying, mirror, mirror on the wall, from the Snow White story? You know, the wicked witch in that story had conversations with the mirror. And she really enjoyed it when the mirror told her that she was the fairest of them all. But when the mirror told her that she wasn't the fairest of them all, then she got very angry and very envious of who? Snow White, right? The thing about mirrors, they always tell the truth, even if we don't like what we see. Mirrors let us know the real person we are. So let me expand on this with a short story. There was this guy that was looking for a job, and he noticed that there was an opening at the local zoo. So he inquired about the job and discovered that the zoo had a very unusual position that it needed to fill. Apparently, their gorilla had recently died. And until they could get a new gorilla, they needed someone to dress up in a gorilla suit and act like a gorilla just for a few days. All they'd have to do is sit, eat, and sleep. His identity would be kept secret, of course, and thanks to a very fine gorilla suit and mask, no one would be the wiser. The zoo offered good pay for this short-time job, so the man said, you know, I'll do it. He tried on the suit, and sure enough, it fit great, and he looked like a real gorilla. So they let him in the cage, and he took a position at the back of the cage, and he was pretending to sleep. But after a while, he just got tired of laying around. So he started to walk around a little bit. He'd jump up and down and he'd make a couple of gorilla noises. Now, the people who were watching him seemed to really like his movement. You know, whenever he'd move around, they'd start to clap. They'd start to cheer. They threw peanuts at him. And the man loved peanuts. So he jumped around some more. He even got up and climbed a tree. That really seemed to get the crowd excited, which meant they threw more peanuts. So, playing to the crowd, he grabbed a vine and swung from one side of the cage to the other. And man, the people really loved it. And of course, they threw more peanuts. And man, he's going, wow, this is great. And you know, he's swinging higher and higher, and the crowd began to grow bigger and bigger. He continued to swing on the vine, getting higher and higher. Then all of a sudden, he slipped. And he fell. But he was swinging so high, he swung out of the cage and landed in the cage next door, which just happened to be the lion's cage. And he panicked because there's a huge lion just 20 feet away. So the man in the gorilla suit started jumping up and down, screaming and yelling, "Help, help, get me out of here. I'm not really a gorilla. I'm a man in a gorilla suit. Help, help." Now the lion quickly pounced on the man, held him down and said, "Hey, will you shut up? You're going to get both of us fired." Okay. Now, I share that story kind of as a transition point because I really want us to examine the subject of who we really are. Because we're talking today about the mirror and an actual reflection of the real you. So, are some of us like the man pretending to be something we're not? Or have you been deceiving yourself and actually believing that you're something else? Again, here's the question. Who are you really? What do you see when you look into the mirror? Have you seen your reflection in a spoon, for instance? When you do that, it's kind of funky. It's different, right? When you look in a spoon. How about when you see your reflection in a window? That's not as accurate as a mirror either. It's kind of dim, right? Now, mirrors, during the time of the writing of the New Testament, we're talking, you know, about roughly 2,000 years ago, were made of a highly polished metal, and you couldn't see very accurately the reflection of yourself. It was kind of like looking in a spoon. But in today's age, we have mirrors that very much display exactly what we look like, just like the mirrors in our bathrooms. But if a mirror is going to work properly, it must be a proper, accurate mirror. For instance, have you been to the circus or the local fairs and they've got those, you know, things called the fun houses, you know, that have all the distorted mirrors in them? They don't really show an accurate display of what we look like. And on the opposite side of that concept, when we read the Bible, you know, possibly listen to a message, hear a sermon, we're supposed to see ourselves within the message. Often we'll hear a sermon and think, boy, I wish so-and-so could hear this message. I think they really need to hear this. But you know what the reality is? The funny thing is, God in his power didn't see fit to make sure so-and-so was here today. But you know what? You're here listening to it. So maybe the message isn't really for so-and-so. Maybe it's for you. Now, without a doubt, one of the most important reasons we are to read and study, gain wisdom with understanding of the scriptures, is to see the dirt on our faces, or possibly the seeds stuck in our teeth. Because if we don't know they're there, we'll never get rid of them. And the point of this whole mirror analogy that the Bible gives us is to illustrate the directions coming from the Word of God. For instance, look at James chapter 1, verses 21 through 24. Scripture tells us, "Therefore, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent, and humbly accept the word planted in you, which can save you. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourself. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like someone who looks at his face in a mirror and, after looking at himself, goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Amen. Well, how could what James just tells us there, how could that be? How can one of us look in the mirror and see ourselves and then walk away and forget what we look like? I mean, you look in a mirror, you walk away, then you're like, "Hey, wait a minute. Am I losing some hair? Am I gaining some weight? What color are my eyes again? Do I got a loose tooth? Am I got a cracked tooth? Do I have some dirt on my face? I mean, gosh, what actually do I look like?" Now, that's absurd. But you know what else? There's so much truth to that. So I want to dig into this some more. How about this? How about there's a young girl who's very pretty. She weighs like you know, barely 100 pounds. She looks in the mirrors and she sees that same beautiful girl who weighs about 100 pounds. But as soon as she steps away from that mirror and gets around her friend, she believes that she's overweight. There's never enough exercise she can do. She can never eat too little. No matter what she sees in the mirror, no matter how many people tell her that she's pretty, she still believes she's overweight. Or how about the boy who gets great grades, but because he isn't the star sports athlete, thinks he's useless and that he's a 90-pound weakling? Because when he looks in the mirror, all he sees is a loser. That's just a couple of examples. I mean, and I can think of a few reasons why that can happen. One is that even though the mirror is giving you an honest, true, and accurate reflection of who you are, you still don't believe the mirror is an accurate reflection of who you are. In other words, you don't trust the mirror. Let me give an example to help explain that. Let's go back to that fun house at the circus or the carnival, right? At the local county fair. In that fun house with all those wacky mirrors, there are certain mirrors that are designed to make us look funny. That's the point to go in there, right? You stand in front of one mirror and you all look muscular and big. You know, like the Mr. Olympia, right? Then you can stand in front of another mirror and look extremely dumpy and short and chunky. Or you can stand in front of yet another one and be 10 foot tall and skinny as a rail. Those mirrors are not an accurate reflection of who you are. And you can walk away from that experience and forget what you looked like in those mirrors. Why? Because you don't trust them. You don't trust that mirror because you know it was made to distort the real you. So one reason we don't trust the mirror is just like the carnival mirrors. We don't trust them. Okay? And then another reason why you can look in a mirror and forget what you look like is we realize that sometimes we have an issue, a problem we have to fix. It's true, folks, that we have messes that need taking care of. Teeth that need flossing, hair that needs combing. But often, the real problem is beneath the surface of what we see in the mirror. Like that example I used of the pretty young girl or the smart young guy. They both have been deceived into believing that they don't look like what the mirror says they look like. We know that the mirror we're to look in to see the real us is the mirror reflecting the Word of God. So I want to ask this question. Do you trust the mirror? Or do you walk away from it thinking you're not worthy? Do you look at the Word of God that says you can do all things through Christ and then walk away thinking that you could never be good enough? Do you look at the Word of God that says you have an anointing and gifts from the Holy One and can use those gifts and then walk away thinking that you could never be used and serve anybody with those gifts? And if you do process like that, then I'm going to tell you there's a reason you think that way. Either you don't trust the mirror or you're being deceived. How many of us trust that the Word of God is an accurate reflection of the real you? Because here's the deal. In other words, if you trust that, then you need to trust the mirror, which is the Word of God. How is it that you can see yourself in the Word and then walk away and act totally different than who you are? How can that happen? I tell you how. You're being deceived. You're letting the enemy pull the wool over your eyes. You're listening to the wrong people if they confirm that. You can look at the Word and find that you are the redeemed and resurrected through what Jesus Christ did. Amen? Right? So what would we look like if we used a piece of, for instance, aluminum foil as your mirror? That kind of mirror is like the mirror of the world. The world doesn't really have a clear view of right and wrong. It's blurry when you look in aluminum foil. Or how about if you look in a mirror covered with stickers? It's got a lot of patches on it. This mirror is the reflection many of us get from our so-called friends. They'll say things like, man, you look good, you're pretty, but it doesn't do much good because it's covered up with words. And so when others tell you how good you are or how bad you are, it's not going to be accurate. It will reflect to you what they say about you. And if it doesn't line up with what the Word of God says, then it is not an accurate word. Or how about a mirror that is broken. It's cracked all over the place. I would contend that this type of mirror could best reflect the churchy type of man-made religion type of mirror. That's the religion that makes a lot of good claims and does contain, you know, a few bits and pieces of things that sound like truth. Things you've heard like, hey, man, if you go to church a lot, you're gonna make God really happy and he will leave you alone. However, that type of religion is cracked up and is incapable of revealing the real truth. Or how about a mirror? That's a good mirror, but it's a really, really small one. Right? It's a good mirror. It represents the Bible, God's word, right? The word of God tells us, James, in the book of James, tells us that it gives a perfect reflection and can show our strengths and our weaknesses. But the only problem is, for the mirror to work properly, you got to get really close to it. I mean, try looking at a really small mirror from a distance. Then move closer and closer, because at the distance, you didn't notice the spot on your face. But when you got really close, you go, ooh, what's that spot on my face I have? In other words, it's like when Jesus says a forgetful hearer is someone who sees themselves in God's mirror, but then goes away and does nothing about it. That would be silly, wouldn't it? In other words, if we see the problem, do something about it, address it. So, if we really want to know who we really are, what type of mirror are you looking in? We have to look at the Word of God as a mirror to show us who we really are. Look at the Word of God to find the real you. Then boldly declare that this is who you are. Let me give you another example. Let's say I got a $20 bill and I'm asking you, hey, do you want this? But then I crumbled it up. Just crumbled it up in my hand. So it's all wrinkled now. Do you still want it? Or how about if I drop this crinkled, mangled up $20 bill on the ground, then I stomped on it, and then I ground it into the dirt. Do you want it now? I mean, there's a valuable lesson with this experiment here, this little story. No matter what I do to that $20 bill, I bet you'd still want it because it didn't decrease the value of the $20 bill, right? It's still worth $20. Well, so often in our lives, we are dropped, we are crumbled, we are ground into the dirt by the decisions we make and the circumstances that come our way. And we feel after those things as though we are worthless. But no matter what has happened or what will happen, we will never lose our value in God's eyes. To Him, dirty or clean, crumpled or finely creased, you are still priceless to Him. And let me remind you, each and every single soul on the planet is dirty compared to Jesus. I mean, when you look into the mirror of God's word, what in the world do you see? Well, we should see our flaws. We're cracked vases. We should see that we have made mistakes. But if you've come to the Lord, asked Him to reside in your heart, submitted to Him as your Lord and Savior, you should also see that Jesus died for you and your issues, your sins. And you should also see that by believing in Jesus Christ, you can be changed forever. Amen? I want to share a couple of quick stories with you. There was this person that lost their life savings in a business deal and had been, you know, elaborately explained to by a swindler. They fell for it. When their investment disappeared and their dream was shattered, they went to the Better Business Bureau. And the official at the Better Business Bureau said, why on earth didn't you come to us first? Didn't you know about us? That this is the reason we help people? And the person said, oh yes, sadly, I've always known about you, but I didn't come because I was afraid. I'd afraid you'd tell me not to go through with the business deal. Folks, the folly of our human nature is that even though we know where the answers lie, and that they lie in the Word of God, we don't turn there for fear of what it's going to tell us. Here's another story. There was this third world tribal leader. Just think of a third world country where they have tribes and they live very archaic. He was presented with a mirror for the first time in his life, and he peered curiously into the glass and commented on the ugliness of the person he saw in the mirror. Now, when he realized he was looking at himself, he became very enraged, mad, and he smashed the mirror on a rock. The scriptures in James describe God's word as a mirror in which we can see ourselves reflected. It shows us that although we were created to reflect God's character, in our fallen condition, we are spiritually ugly and we are marred by sin. But when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are spiritually reborn. Right? That's what John chapter 3, verses 3 through 8 is all about. Then, as we look into God's word, we see ourselves as God sees us. Our ugliness has been transformed into the beauty of Christ's likeness. And we grow in his likeness from that point on. So again, what do you see as you look into the mirror of Scripture? Are you one that kind of hesitates to read the Bible because it shows you the ugly appearance of your unbelief or your pride or your arrogance or your unforgiveness? Or do you read it gracefully and gratefully, seeing yourself as God the Father sees you, as his spiritually reborn child who is becoming more and more like his beloved son, Jesus? If you have admitted your need for a Savior and accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you're a new creature. You're a new creation. Your spirit is created in the image and likeness of God. You're complete now in your spirit in Jesus Christ. You are righteous in what Jesus Christ has done. You have right standing with God, just like you've never done anything wrong. When you look in the mirror of the Word of God, you will see an accurate reflection of yourself, and you will never forget who you are or what you look like. The Word of God is unlike any other mirror because it actually changes us. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. And we all, who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory, are being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. In other words, people, looking through the lens of God's mirror can make us beautiful on the inside. I want to share the story of this professor named Alexander Papadopoulos. At the last session of a seminar he was giving on Greek culture, Dr. Papadopoulos turned and made the normal gesture, "Are there any questions?" Quiet hush was over the room. The seminar had generated enough questions for a lifetime, but for now there was only science. "No questions?" Professor Papadopoulos swept through the room with his eyes until finally one question. "Dr. Papadopoulos, what is the meaning of life?" was asked. Now, laughter followed, and people were stirring to go. Papadopoulos held up his hand and stilled the room. Had everybody sit down and looked into the eyes of the person asking the question as if they were asking with his eyes if the person was serious. And the professor concluded that the student was. He goes, "I will answer your question." So he took his wallet out. He got out a very small round mirror about the size of a quarter. And he said, "When I was a small child during World War II, we were very poor. And we lived in a remote village in Greece. One day on the road, I found the broken pieces of a mirror. It was from a German motorcycle that had been wrecked and crashed in that place. I tried to find all the pieces of the mirror and put it together, but it was not possible. So I kept only the largest piece, which is this little one about the size of a quarter. And by scratching it on a stone, I made it round. I began to play with it as a toy, and I became fascinated by the fact that I could reflect light into dark places where the sun would never shine, in deep holes and crevices and dark closets. It became like a game for me to get light into the most inaccessible places I could find. I kept the little mirror, and as I went about my growing up, I would take it out on idle moments and continue the challenge of that game I played as a little boy. As I became a man, I grew to understand that this was not just a child's game, but a metaphor for what I might do with my life. I came to understand that I am not the light or the source of light, but the light of truth, understanding, knowledge is there, and would only shine in many dark places if I reflect it. I am a fragment of a mirror whose whole design and shape I do not know. Nevertheless, with what I have, I can reflect light into the dark places of this world, into the black places in the hearts of men, and change some things in some people. And perhaps, watching what I am doing, others may see and do likewise. This is what I am about. This is the meaning of life. Hallelujah. Isn't that a great story? You know, Jesus tells us in John chapter 9, verse 5, that he is the light of the world. And as his followers, you and I are to be like that little mirror, reflecting the light of Christ into the dark corners of the world. That is the meaning of the Christian life. Jesus tells us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, in the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Hallelujah. So again, the question remains that has been asked a few times today. What type of mirror are you? Are you the broken one? Believing half-truths and trying to patch your image together? Are you the mirror filled with stickers of sayings representing other people's words that form who you think you are? Are you the aluminum type, foil type of mirror where people just can't quite get a clear picture of who or what you represent? Or does your life represent the small mirror where you know God, but you keep your distance for fear of what you will find up close? I hope today you're encouraged to become like the full-length mirror, where people can see you for who you are. It's the only way you will get an accurate picture of what you look like and what others see of you, so you can address those areas and humble yourself to become more like Jesus Christ. God bless you all. Bye for now.